You'll find information on how to support us at the end of this podcast. So, we're going to talk about the spirit, the soul, and the body. And we know that the spirit is creativity, revelation, and inspiration. We know that in the soul, we operate out of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And we know that the body, it's connected to the world and operates through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So we know those three components work together to form us as an individual. So before we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we actually still have a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit, it's our natural spirit, which is dead towards God. It's dead towards the inspiration of God, but it still receives the inspiration of God at God's sovereign will. So God can't have a truly intimate relationship with you until you are connected spiritually with Him. So if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're just a normal person. Even if we go back into the Old Testament, people were just normal people, but they had their own spirit. How do you think that they wrote the Old Testament? They were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So they had inspiration by the Holy Spirit. He gave them revelation. And He gave them creativity. You know, in the Old Testament, they built the Ark of the Covenant. They selected a couple of Hebrew men. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was in them and inspired them to create the artwork. So in these last days, God has moved into a new phase where He is filling people with His Spirit, and He is permanently melding with there, or connecting, like you get an infusion, like a tea bag. You drop a tea bag in water, you can't separate the tea from the water. They become one. They're two separate things, but they become one, and they function as one. So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit moved upon people and gave them inspiration, revelation, and creativity. But now the Holy Spirit is infused in our spirit and now brings our spirit alive. Now, in the Old Testament and even now, people who are not filled with the Holy Spirit are still made up of three components: the spirit, the soul, and the body. Now, people who say that your spirit is dead, well, it's dead to the inspiration of God. It's not dead, it's alive. But it just can't receive the things from God. So the enemy comes and fills that void with demon stuff, with demon inspiration, demon creativity, and demon revelation. And these things are all based in a false narrative of God, or of who God is. So people worship, rocks, wood that they carved into something that looks familiar, and they worship that through their natural spirit, but they can't connect with God. But inside their spirit, there is a component that says, I want to reach out to the spiritual realm. So God comes along and He says, I'm going to fill you with My Spirit. So through the process of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and Him sending back the Holy Spirit, now we have access to God. And His Spirit comes and infuses in our spirit. And we are no longer left to the devices of darkness to confuse us. But now we have true revelation, true creativity and true inspiration that is based on the true narrative. It's based on God. So if we pray in the Holy Spirit, we're going to build our spiritual selves up in creativity, revelation, and inspiration of God. And the Holy Spirit is going to transform us through this law. the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and it will make you free from the law of sin and death. Your old nature, being led by your not so dead spirit, but dead spirit to God, but your spirit that was open to anything, anything at all, any new idea that came along, any new God that came along, any new worship that came along. But now you have God's Spirit, and the Bible says we cry, Abba, Father. We know that we are connected with Father God. We are connected with our true Creator, and not some false narrative or idea or concept or lie that is fed to us. There's a million different versions on how to live life to the fullest in this world, and every one of them is based on a lie. Unless it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, it's false. There is no truth in this world. Now, sometimes I have to clarify things because people are very picky. But most of you who are here listening to this now are not so much picky, not looking for something to fault me. You're looking for the truth. And you understand that my words are plain. I'm not interested in trying to cover all my back in every way. I expect you to be on the same page as me. But there are people out there who are looking for the truth in a thousand different ways. But until they actually find the truth through the Holy Spirit, then they're looking in vain. Because there is no truth in the world. Now there is truth, but I'm talking about real truth. I mean, when a dentist tells you that if you don't brush your teeth, they'll fall out, that's truth. But, you know, that's not going to give you eternal life. That's not going to give you a relationship with God. You know, if you plant a seed in the ground and water it, it will grow. That's truth. That's knowledge. And that's wisdom. But that's not going to give you eternal life and a relationship with God. So the world feeds from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Good and evil. But that is not going to get you eternal life and a relationship with God. Being a good person and doing everything that's right in this world, brushing your teeth and planting seeds in the right way, driving on the right side of the street, being a good citizen, and being a good father, being a good mother, being a good individual, isn't going to give you eternal life or a relationship with God. You need the Holy Spirit. So anybody who preaches to you some form of ideas pertaining to this life and wants to inspire you, unless it's coming from the Holy Spirit, it's not coming from God. It's coming from the other source. And Jesus, you know, he says that this world is rotten to the core. He says that in him you'll have life and life more abundantly. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes disguised as an angel of light. So you've got all of these different ideas in this world trying to present to you some form of truth or angel of light. But you know, the only truth that you're ever going to get is from God through the Holy Spirit. All the rest has part truth mixed up with lies. And that causes the things of the kingdom of God to stop working in your life. So the things of the kingdom of God, if you want them to fully impermeate your life and functionality, that's a really important thing. Having the kingdom of God in functionality in your life. To do that, you have to be totally dedicated to listening to the Holy Spirit and not to the things of this world. Now, you can transition. Okay, so let's say you've got a shop and you repair bikes. Now, you go to bike school, you learn all about bikes, you know all the things about bikes, you know all the mechanics about bikes, and you're doing your bike shop and you're building a bike and you're repairing bikes and you're selling bikes and all this sort of stuff. Well, that comes from the world. And that's going to give you a reward. You're going to get money for your labor. But what if you prayed in tongues and you got inspired by God, right? And you had creativity, revelation, and inspiration from God, and you designed the best operational bike that the world has ever seen. That's how you can use God's creativity, God's inspiration, God's revelation in anything that you do in your life. Whether you're a doctor or a dentist, whether you're a bike repair person, a locksmith, whether you're a bricklayer, okay? I mean, there's not much to bricklaying. You know, you're just putting bricks on bricks. There's a lot of setup and alignment and all of these things. But there's not thousands and thousands of components. There's just bricks. There might be 20 different bricks. I don't really care. I don't want to get into it. Okay, as opposed to a doctor having to go for 7 years and learning all about anatomy and all the functionality of the human body and then medicine and how that all interacts. But just understand that everything that you do, even a bricklayer, you can be inspired. You can create. You can be inspired and have revelation from God. And you can lay bricks in a certain way that maybe nobody's ever laid. And people will go, this is amazing. And you've created something that comes from God. That's not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but from the tree of life. You can excel in everything you do through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not about just worshiping God and praising God and singing songs and speaking in tongues for hours. It's about doing things. You know, you have to understand who is God. And He wants you to take upon yourself His nature. Well, the first reference we have is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God was into restoration. You know, Jesus is quite funny that Jesus was a carpenter. He builds things. He's building your life. He's building a heavenly home. He's building you as a building for God. He's a carpenter. It's pretty interesting. But you know, he's using inspiration, creativity, and revelation to do this. And He's doing that from the Father. It's pretty interesting stuff. All you have to do is get yourself organized first. Get yourself right with God first. Get all of the junky stuff and ideas and concepts. Get all the misconceptions of who God is and what the meaning of life is out of the way by praying in the Holy Spirit. Because you will warfare against all of the things that are not of God. Everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And once the enemy has been smashed, been burnt up by the spirit of fire, then God will replace that empty void with His revelation, His creativity, and His inspiration. And you can use that to save souls, to touch men's hearts with the power of God. And you can use that in your day-to-day life, in the job or the occupation that you have. If you're a singer-songwriter, you write songs that are inspired by God. When people hear them, there's an anointing on them. And God can touch their hearts. There are people who have spoken, who've written down things hundreds of years ago. And when you read them, because they were inspired literature, you get inspired by the Holy Spirit. The anointing is still on it. I've read sermons from people 100 years ago, and I have been so inspired by that. And I said to the Lord, how does that work? He said, my anointing's on this, because this person, when he spoke the inspired words of God. And they don't come back void, and they have an eternity to them. They don't have a residual value that just fades away. They continue to go and stay in that place. You know, John G. Lake, he put his hand on a pole. They were tired. So they put their hand on a pole, prayed over it, and released their anointing on that pole, and said, anybody who touched that pole and asked for healing, it's not the pole, it's God, they'll get healed. They went, well, John's like, he went to bed, and he woke up the next morning, all these people were healed. That's just amazing. That shows that you can actually transfer your anointing onto some inanimate object. You know, I told a sister to pray over a pillow of her husband. And she did that when she got full of God. Because I was praying with her over the phone and she was getting touched very strongly by the Lord. She was being transformed by the Holy Spirit. And she was getting super excited in the things of God. And her husband was a bit of a wet blanket. And so I told her to pray over the pillow when she felt the presence of God over her. Release it into the pillow. Within a couple of weeks, her husband got on fire for the Lord. I like that. Now that is that's creative. God gave me that creative idea, that revelation, that inspiration. And I imparted it unto her. And then she got a result. So you can walk exclusively in the creativity, in the revelation, inspiration of the Holy Spirit in every part of your life. So as you're walking down the street, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but as I'm walking down the street, I am continually aware that I'm a Christian. I'm continually aware that I am infused with the Holy Spirit. I'm continually aware that I'm part of the kingdom of God. That is who I am in every way. Now, how God uses me is a different matter. Sometimes he uses me in small things and sometimes in great mighty things. But I have positioned myself to walk and be continually have my eyes in the heavens. I look up. I don't look at the natural things. I look at the spiritual things. So whenever I think of a situation or a problem, I always look at it from a spiritual perspective. How can I get this fixed up through the inspiration, the creativity, the revelation of God? Now, I don't say those things in my head, but that's how I think. So everything that I do, I'm crossing the road, I'm looking at cars. But at the same time, I'm totally and fully aware that I'm a Christian. Now, that didn't just come from some sort of mind think, some sort of a discipline of mind, some sort of, I sit there and say, I'm a Christian. Doesn't work like that. Matter of fact, you can't sit around and go, faith, I believe in faith, I'm full of faith, I walk in faith, I'm a man of faith, when I speak faith. You can do that until the cows come home. And that isn't going to get you. It might get you a little bit somewhere. I didn't do it that way. I sat down and I prayed in tongues and I built myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And what happened? Faith came from nowhere. All of a sudden, I had faith to do stuff. All of a sudden, I was inspired by God. I had creativity and revelation from God in bucket loads. Bucket loads. My first 6 months of praying in tongues for 5 hours a day, I bought a 95-page book, a big one. Wasn't it A4? It was bigger than A4. And I filled each page up with separate bits of information about the kingdom of God. So I'd fill the page up, one page, with the heading of something that the Lord has shown me, a concept, and I would put in bullet points all of the ideas wrapped around that so that I could look at it and I would remember back to that inspiration. I filled that book up in a couple of months because I asked God every day, God, how do we do this? And he told me every day. I spent a process. I'd pray for hours and hours and I'd spend a lot of time just staring into space. And in that time I was staring into space, God was speaking to me and he was giving me the answers to the questions that I asked him. And I'd write them down in bullet point Yeah, I filled up that in a couple of months, 95 pages. After that, I gave up. I said to the Lord, I'm going to need volumes of books. And he said to me, you don't need it. He said, it's all inside you. I said, so it's all, he said, it's all written on my heart. He said, whenever you need to minister to somebody about a certain thing, I'll flip open to that specific section that I've shown you, and it'll start flowing out of you in inspiration, in creativity, in revelation. So after that, I just gave up on the books, and I just kept praying. 9 years goes by, I'm praying away, I'm sitting down, I mean, even yesterday, I'm sitting down on the lounge, and I'm staring into space for about an hour, and I'm fully engaged with the things of God. And Donna says, you there? I said, yep, I'm okay. She says, what are you doing? I said, I'm just thinking. She says, oh, okay, because she knows where I am. Right? So, you know, she just needed to know what, because I was quiet. And I'm a very animated, like to, you know, move around. But I also stare in space. I'm not interested in sitting down and just relaxing. Whenever I sit down, I just start thinking automatically about God. My whole life and all my thoughts are about thinking about God. And I don't have to inspire myself to think about God. I don't have to discipline myself so much to think about God. It is a part of my new nature now, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from that law of sin and death. You know, I now are in a, I'm in a totally different place. I've said it over and over again. I can't teach you this stuff. You have to step into it yourself. You have to go to God, and you have to set yourself a course through the Holy Spirit. And every single person is different. They have different problems. They have different life. They have a different situation, different circumstances, different understandings of things. And the Holy Spirit gets to work and throws things out, keeps things, throws things out, keeps things. Some things are not going to bother. He doesn't take everything away from you just because it's, well, it's not of Him. If it's not going to bother you, if it's not going to damage you, if it's not going to cause you any trouble, then most times He just leaves it with you. It's part of you. You know, and so that He's trying to get you. He's trying to get you to understand and be not, now the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. And if you look in the Greek, the word good, right, means good. Basically, okay, it's good. Okay, so, you know, do anything that's good, anything that's actually going to work. Okay, when you butter your bread, you put the butter on the bread. That's good. You don't put it on something else. You put it on the bread. When you go to through a door, you open the door. That's good. Okay, you don't try and walk into the door. So that's the good. That's basically what it means, the good. And acceptable is something that is actually acceptable to God. The Bible talks about us, you know, making our life as a living sacrifice. That's acceptable to God. So doing these things is acceptable. And the perfect, well, that means maturity. Stepping into maturity. Now, your whole life operates through the good, the acceptable and the perfect will of God. Getting up, trying to do good, read your Bible, that's good. So you read your Bible, that's good. Praying in tongues is not so much good, it's more acceptable. Because the Lord says, right, pray without ceasing. That's acceptable. And the perfect will of God is when the Holy Spirit starts moving in your life and transforming the old broken life into something that's really mature. It brings you into a maturity. And so God doesn't just make you, there's just one point of maturity. The way the Lord works is he has levels. So maybe we say in your life, just using for instance, we say in your life, you've got 100 levels assigned to you. And as you move to each level, you mature in that level. And as you move to the next level, you mature in that level. And some people may have 10 levels, 20 levels, because every single person is called by God to do certain things. But we're all called to mature in God in whatever capacity he wants us to mature in. There are some people who can't mature to the level that you may be mature to. You've got to uphold them in prayer because they're considered weak people. God's not going to give them 100 levels, okay, and they're only going to get to 5 in their life. And they're going to stand before God and he's going to say, well, where's the other 95? And they're going to have condemnation. No, God wants to give them a good ending. So some people are not like you. Some people are not go-getters like you. And the reason you're a go-getter, the reason you're like you is because God has made you that way. He's called you. He's supplied everything for you to achieve what you need to do. And all you've got to do is do the good, the acceptable. And as you're doing the acceptable, you'll turn into the perfect will of God. And you'll move from level to level. And you'll receive the creativity, the revelation, the inspiration to move through those individual levels. You know, I have people ring me up and they say, I don't know what's happened, Tom, but I've just changed. Everything's changed. I've seemed to have broken into a new place in God. Now, they can't describe it. They don't know how to make sense of it in a way. They don't know how to articulate it in English. But in the spiritual realm, they know exactly what is happening. Because God doesn't even just, you know, lead them around mindlessly. He works with them. He holds a hand and he guides them through this maze of life. And as they're moving through, he tells them what has happened. And it comes in the form of a spiritual language. Spiritual language is different in some ways to English. Spiritual language has a different capacity. English is a conceptual thing. So a person conceptualizes something and they transform it into something that has meaning. That's what language is all about, getting to another person ideas. Well, God is a spirit, and when he speaks to you, he speaks to your spirit. And your spirit, it has a far greater capacity to understand things than your natural mind, than your language. That's why Paul said, when he was taken to the third heaven, he said, I saw things that were unlawful to speak, to utter, because he didn't have any language to actually explain this wonderfulness that he saw, that he couldn't even bring language to even describe it. The language was inappropriate. It was inadequate. So don't try and put the spiritual realm, everything that you receive from God, into language. You'll be frustrated. Just step into the spirit and walk in that spirit and have a relationship with God in that spiritual realm. And when you have to explain something to an individual, he will give you a language-friendly version so that you can understand these things. And if you pray in tongues, you'll move into the spiritual realm in such a way that God will give you understanding that is outside the ability to speak it out in English. You'll be able to speak part of it, but you won't be able to speak the fullness of it because it's so big. The Holy Spirit is so massive in knowledge and understanding. I am overwhelmed by the knowledge that the Holy Spirit has given me. I can't even use it here. And I say to the Lord, why should I have this if I can't use it here? This is so big. And he says to me, you're an eternal being. You're only in a little, this is a little pit stop, this life. You're going to have eternity to use all of this stuff I've given you. And I go, okay. And some of this will bleed out into this language, and I'll be able to help other people. Help other people be inspired, have revelation, and have creativity through the Spirit. That's what I'm doing now. I'm trying to get you to plug into the Spirit so that you can have something that is far greater than this world or the sum of this world can provide for you. I want you to be inspired. I want you to have revelation. I want you to have creativity. And you can use all of these things. You know, when I'm ministering, the Holy Spirit, He gives me creativity, revelation, and inspiration. I'll use this as a good analogy. You know, I'm at a place. I'm there for five or seven minutes. This little kid's got autism. I don't know anything about autism. I don't even know what it is. I just think it's some mental thing because I've met a lot of adults with autism and they're off their face. They have no connection with the world, with reality. They're walking around in circles. You know, so I don't really understand it, but I know it's really, it's demonic. It's something that's not good. And this little kid puts his hands around his dad's waist because he's scared of me. And he's hiding behind his dad. And his dad, and I said to his dad, what's wrong with him? And he says, he's got autism. And I said, so when did he get that? He said, when he was a baby, he was born with it. Okay, that was his knowledge. I said, so who do you think caused this to happen to him? And he goes, I don't know. I said, well, think about it. And the Holy Spirit, in a millisecond, gave him revelation. This comes from the enemy. And then he had inspiration. He grabbed the kid's hands and started praying in tongues. And this guy, he was brought up in the church. He's spirit-filled since he was a little kid. He's about 28 or so. He hadn't really done anything, a lot of spiritual stuff. But he's a spiritual being. And I'll tell you, everybody who's born again, properly born again, is a spiritual being, and they can be used mightily by God from the get-go in any moment of time. If there's no one around, He'll use the most newest Christian in mighty things. Okay, but anyway, this guy, he had a revelation. He goes, yes, this is from demons. This is not from God. This is not something I have to put up with. And then he was inspired to pray, put his hands on the kid and started praying in tongues. What did I do? I saw that happening and I started participating in the prayer. I walked over from about 2 feet, leaned over to pray over him. And from the time I put my hand on him, God downloaded to me revelation about what autism is all about. He gave me understanding. Now I was already inspired to go and lay hands on him, and he gave me revelation of what autism was all about. And what I did is I just spoke in a creative manner. I was inspired with the words to say, so I got a revelation of what the problem was and where it was coming from and how to fix it. And I was inspired to say these words. And I was told that his mind was being overwhelmed with too much information and he was unable to cope. And that was the end product. All of him doing his little dancing around and whatever was because his mind was overwhelmed with information. And the Lord gave me the inspiration of what to say. So I said, I just prayed over his mind and told it to calm down. And then the Lord interacted with my inspiration and my revelation. And, you know, the Bible says, and they went everywhere and the Lord worked with them and he confirmed the word with signs following. Amen, amen. So I put my hand on the kid, told his mind to calm down in the name of Jesus, prayed in tongues a bit. The power of God was there and I took my hand away and the kid was totally set free in a matter of, we prayed for maybe 20 seconds, maybe 30 seconds. That's about it. Wasn't a big 4-hour prayer. And I looked at him and I said, hello. And he goes, hello. And his dad, just from that word, hello, his dad knew something marvelous had just happened. And he's running around the kitchen. No, actually, sorry. He went, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I said, can I have a hug? And he came and gave me a hug. And that like super clinched it. That his dad said, this is mighty. To me, he's just a little kid. And he just gave me a hug. He said, hello. So what's the big deal? Because I understood from that time, but, you know, I wasn't emotionally invested in this child like his dad and his mum were. I mean, they had all of the house geared up for him. And the other children, they all had all sorts of autoimmune problems and allergies and all this stuff. I mean, the enemy was piled on in this house. He had the wife heaped up. He had the husband heaped up. He had all the kids heaped up. Because why? Because these people are anointed. They have a major anointing over them. These people are frontline people. These people are people that God is going to use mightily. These people are doing the good, acceptable, and they're moving into the perfect will of God. These people are movers and shakers, and the enemy doesn't like that. So we're used by God to break all the stuff up and set them free. It wasn't about us, it was about them. It wasn't about Tom and Donna, it was about them and Jesus. It was the victory that Jesus brought to them through the cross, and he used us and the Holy Spirit as the agency to break that, and then he moved them into a place where they plugged into the Holy Spirit, started worshiping God, started praying in tongues for hours every day, and started seeing healings and miracles happen all over the place. And now they can speak into people's lives because they have a first-hand experience because of the creativity, the revelation, and the inspiration that the Holy Spirit brought. So we'll leave it there. So if you'd like to partner with Don and I and help support us, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.